At this time, I'd like to just take a few minutes to introduce our speakers and presenters in our conference this year. And perhaps we'll start with Doreen Marr. Doreen, if you'll just stand, let us see you. We'll all be seeing more of Doreen this evening. Doreen works with medical missions with MTW, and we look forward to hearing from her. And actually, Jeff Cagle is standing already, and we'll be hearing from Jeff about some local missions efforts. And John and Olya Powell, if you'll stand, they are serving in, they're here from Ukraine, Lviv, if I got it right. And we look forward to hearing from them as well. And then, well, I should have had Kendall stand, but our Kendall Downey, yes. And Craig and Ree Colburn. And there's Andrew here too. They're in Japan. In fact, they're going back in just 2 weeks. So I'm sure they'd appreciate all the support we can give them tonight. And Chris Garriott. Chris is with us tonight. Thank you, Chris. Chris serves with RUF at University of Maryland, College Park. And let's see. I think I got Matt Michael. Are you here, Matt? He was here earlier. Matt works with Carroll County Young Life, and he'll be speaking with us, sharing on Sunday. And Arn Jorndahl works with Central Maryland Youth for Christ. We'll be hearing from him Saturday. And I think I have, is there anyone I missed before I give up? There's Hal Ball. I don't know if Hal's here. Where's Hal? Hal. Hal will be sharing mainly music. And I think that's everybody. The Gadsons will be joining us, we hope, tomorrow. And there'll be a lot of opportunity to go and meet our missionaries, both just socializing and sometimes maybe perhaps next to their tables, and learn more about their missions and their service. We are thankful for their being here and being able to share. Really look forward to it. And tonight, at this point, before I start, when I'm done with my introduction, as Lloyd Kim comes to join us, the children will be excused. So when you see Lloyd stand, the children can be excused at that point, too. But Lloyd comes, is the MTW coordinator for the PCA. He serves over all the mission ministries. He's the one who answers to General Assembly. One of his favorite tasks. I'm sure he'll come to love that. So I'll get to be hearing more from Lloyd in the future, but we look forward to hearing from him. He has three children, ages 15, 13, and 9. Two girls and one son. The son's in between, like a sandwich there, and his wife Ida. And they've been serving recently up till his nomination, which is about almost a year ago now. We're serving earlier in Cambodia, and so reacquainted with Karen and Steve here, who also will be going there. And he also served in the Philippines for a few years, about almost 10 years of missionary service abroad. Before that, he was a pastor of a church in California. Yes, that other side of the United States, which I was once there when I was 5. I can't say any more about it. So, well, we look forward to hearing from you. Lloyd, thank you so much for coming and serving.
Good evening. It's a delight for me to be here. I understand that Dr. Paul Koistra, the former moderator, was actually scheduled to talk, and so you get the second string. Nevertheless, we pray that God would still speak to us this evening. And again, just a delight to see you, delight to see some of our missionaries here, some old friends, some new friends as well. Tonight, I really would like just to share a very simple passage, a very familiar passage with you, and have us reflect on it. It comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. This is right there in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, and this is God's word. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Pray with me, please, before we hear the message. Father, we simply ask for your Holy Spirit to come and to remind us of who we are and to speak to us, Lord, through your word and through this message. Help me, Father, by this Spirit, Lord, to speak the message you've prepared for us all tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So growing up, I had all kinds of identity issues. I grew up in a small town in Northern California, where our family was the first Korean-American family to settle there. In the back of my mind, of course, I knew I was of Korean descent, but I always felt first and foremost an American. Most of my classmates, neighbors, friends, they were all white. So I felt very much a part of this culture. When I went to a large public university, the University of California in the Bay Area, the first thing that I noticed was how many Asians there were. They were everywhere. And a friend from my hometown who was white came with me and we kept saying to each other, man, there are just so many Asians here. Couldn't believe it. Interestingly enough, in God's providence, when I would go overseas to Asia, the people didn't know what to do with me. In the Philippines, they thought I was Filipino. When I traveled to Vietnam, they all assumed I was Vietnamese, right? In China, they spoke to me in Chinese. In Cambodia, they spoke to me in Cambodian. All these experiences have caused me to ask myself, who am I? Well, in our passage today, Jesus is reminding us of who we are. He tells us, you're the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, he tells us who we are in order for us to live according to our identity. You see, it's our identity that helps us understand our purpose in life and our calling in this world. I imagine most of you probably don't have the same kind of identity issues that I have, but the question still remains before us tonight. Do you know who you are? As Jesus sat on that mountain teaching crowds and crowds of people gathered before him, these were his people. They were the Israelite people. They were the Jewish people. Jesus was speaking to the Jews. And they were God's chosen people. He picked this nation among all the different nations of the world. And he chose this nation to be his salt, to be his light. And we ask ourselves, well, how are they to get the world's attention? How are they to be the light? By living differently from the world. They were called to live a life of righteousness. In fact, the whole Sermon on the Mount is Jesus explaining the kind of righteousness in which they were to live as God's people, as God's chosen, right? This is a righteousness that goes beyond external actions, simply doing the right things on the outside. This is a heart righteousness that does the right thing with the right attitude, the right spirit, the right heart. And when the world sees this kind of righteousness, they'll take notice. They'll say, these people are so different from everyone else that I know, and I want to be like them, and I want to know their God. Let me ask this question. Were God's people the salt of the earth? Were they the light of the world? Jesus says, if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything but to be what? Thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Now, why do you think Jesus said this to his people? He knew that his people weren't very salty. They were living just like everyone else. There's no difference in their lives. If you ever visit Cambodia, you'll have to try this incredible beef noodle soup. You'll find it on every corner, and when it comes out piping hot, and it tastes and smells delicious. And so as you eat it, you feel so satisfied, but then after about 10 minutes, you feel quite sick to your stomach, oftentimes. Not everyone. Why? They put so much MSG in there. It's like their favorite spice. And so, you know, as we think about this, this is kind of a picture of how we often are, right? What does Jesus tell us? He says, you are the salt of the earth, not the MSG of the earth. But how often are we those who look good on the outside, but on the inside are far from him? Jesus goes and tells the people, you know, folks don't put a lamp under a basket. They put it on a stand in order to give light to the whole house. What was Jesus hinting at? People were hiding their light. They're hiding their identity. They're hiding their relationship with the true God. Instead of leading the nations to God, they were leading the nations away from their God. When the nations looked at their lives, they didn't see any difference. So why would they want to follow their God? What should God do with his people? Become tasteless salt. They become broken light bulbs. When a light goes out, what do you do with it? Do you just sit there in the darkness? Of course not. You take the bulb out and you replace it with a new one. You throw it away. The truth is, God's people did not deserve to be his light. What they deserved was to be thrown out. What they deserved was to receive his wrath, to receive his judgment. And maybe some of you have come tonight feeling like tasteless salt. Maybe you feel like the light is burned out. And maybe you hear these words of Jesus and you think he's saying the same things that I've heard again and again, that I'm worthless, that I deserve to be thrown out, that I deserve to be trampled upon. My mother-in-law is a wonderful woman, but she's a pack rat. She simply does not throw anything away. One summer, we were visiting her house, and I looked in her backyard, and she had these six filthy chairs that were all dilapidated. The birds had come and pooped all over them. And we said, Mom, throw these away. They're an eyesore. Why do you keep them in your backyard? And she said, no way. Look at the wood. The wood is still good. One day I'm going to fix up those chairs of mine. She'd been saying that for 20 years. Well, one day I went out into the back and I did look at those chairs and I noticed, you know what, actually this wood's not too bad. I began looking at the chairs the way she did, not as they were, but as they could one day be. And so I took those chairs and sanded them down. I got some white paint, painted them, found some new material, reupholstered them, and I slaved over those chairs for days, got blisters on my hands, stepped on a nail. But I'll tell you, if you come and visit my mother-in-law, you look at those chairs, they look brand new. She never gave up on those old chairs, and whenever I see them, I see the story of redemption. You know what? We're a lot like those old chairs. When our Heavenly Father looks down at us, He sees what we will one day become. He doesn't give up on us. You see, our Lord was sent here not to condemn us, but to redeem us. And He doesn't think that we're worthless. In fact, He thinks that we are so valuable, so precious, that He Himself became trampled. He became thrown out for our sake. And He takes our darkness, and He takes our sins, and He takes our failings upon Himself, and He pays them in full on the cross. And in return, He gives us life. He gives us light. He makes us new. Don't you see? Jesus, He's the salt of the earth. Jesus is the light of the world. Only in Jesus can we be the salt. Only in Him can we be the light. It doesn't come from us. It comes from Him. It comes when we receive His forgiveness, when we receive His righteousness, when we receive freedom from sin, freedom from fear, freedom from anxieties. You see, when we have the light of the world, and that's who Jesus is, we can't help but reflect His light. You still living in the darkness? Come to the light. Are you a child of the light? Well, then live as a child of the light. Jesus is calling us, we who've put our faith in Him, to delight in Him. To delight in His great love for us. To delight in the fact that we are now His adopted children. Do you know who you are? In Christ, you are sons, and you are daughters of God. You see, when we realize this truth, when it goes from up here down here, everything changes. How we think about ourselves, how we think about our life in this world, our dreams, our desires become less focused on building our kingdom and more focused on building His kingdom. We become purposeful in our life decisions, seeking to share this great gift of God, this great gift of grace to others. We want to tell people how great our God is, because He is great. We want nothing less than God's desires for the nations, fellowship and communion with Him. Are we there yet? You see, even as people who have been going to church for a long time, serving the church for a long time, and I'm guessing that many of you have done just that, I believe we still struggle with having an authentic, genuine relationship with God, a relationship that naturally overflows in shining the light of Christ. I think what often happens in our Christian life is that when we first come to know Jesus, we're so excited about our faith. In many ways, the light just naturally shines from us, but somehow the more mature we get, we begin to depend less maybe on Christ and more upon our experience, our abilities, even our reputation. Let's face it, we know how to be good Christians. We know what to say. We know all the right answers. But oftentimes, something is missing, isn't it? There's no light. There's no salt. There's no genuine relationship with God. And here, beloved, I think when we're in this place, it's far more dangerous than being a non-Christian. Because when we walk down this road, it only leads to hypocrisy, self-righteousness, pride, the sins of the Pharisees and scribes. A friend of mine who was who's still in the ministry shared how he wanted to challenge his church to be more mission-minded. His simple message was, we don't have to travel overseas to be missionaries. We can be missionaries right here in our hometown. But before he launched his initiative at church, he first wanted to express his convictions to his family. So he sat down his young children and told them, kids, we are missionaries. This is our mission field. His young daughter at the time replied, no, Daddy, we're not missionaries. He said to her, yes, dear, we are missionaries. She said again, no, we aren't. He replied more strongly, honey, we are missionaries. And then she said these words, but Daddy, we never tell anybody about Jesus. And you only tell people about Jesus when you're in front of the pulpit. So how are we missionaries, Daddy? He was humbled and convicted. So how then do we go from living an inauthentic Christian life to one that is genuine? How do we renew our relationship with our Father? The answer is simple. The same gospel that saved us at the beginning of our Christian life renews our relationship with our Father all throughout our Christian life. What makes us feel far from God? It's our sins, our present sins, the flesh that we still struggle with, even as his children. What enables us to draw near to him is receiving his forgiveness and grace as we honestly confess and repent of our sins. This is a life of dying to self and living for Christ. You see, it's the gospel that keeps us in fellowship with God and enables us to live authentically. And so you see, the light that we shine, the saltiness that we give, flows out of this genuine relationship with God. And when we are in fellowship with him, we begin to live with this heart righteousness that Jesus speaks about in his sermon, not this external right behavior, but an inward transformation of our hearts and attitudes. And so I ask you tonight, do you want this? Do you want this heart transformation? This past month, I had the opportunity to visit our team in Cusco, Peru. And while I was there, I met this young national Peruvian who works with our team. His name was Raul. The weekend before, a woman and her four kids, the middle of the night, were knocking on their door. Raul's father, Emilio, answered the door, and this woman shared her story. She said her husband was drunk, was beating her, threatened to kill her. She didn't know where to go. They invited this woman in and began to share with them their story. Raul's father, Emilio, said, I was just like your husband. I was a violent man. I beat my wife. I beat my kids. I was a drunkard. Raul shared with her, I remember going with my mom and running away from my dad and being on the street. Your family is our family. But then they shared, but Jesus changed everything. They shared how they had met this foreigner who was in their neighborhood who relentlessly reached out to them. Who was this foreigner? It was an MTW missionary. And how he shared again and again about the love of Jesus, and over time, they began to see change. The father stopped drinking. The sons felt safe. They met Jesus. The next morning, Emilio went out. He knew this family. He went to the father, still sobering up, and shared the gospel with him. Some people think the best way to be the light and the salt of the world is to be the best in your profession. Best mother, the best father, the best professional. We think somehow that if we're excellent and we have these perfect families, that the world will somehow be drawn to us. But what I have found is that the light of Christ shines most brightly when God's people show their weakness, their brokenness, when they confess their sins and show the world the sweet joy of what it means to receive God's amazing grace. Our Lord is encouraging us tonight simply to remember who we are. He reminds us that we are so loved in Jesus, so valuable in Him. He reminds us that we are sons and daughters. And so, beloved, let us not pretend to be anything else. Let us delight in His great, amazing grace for us, that we would shine His light and share His saltiness to a world still living in darkness. Amen. Amen. Pray with me, please. Father, we can't help but love You. We can't help but love You because You have loved us first and You've changed us. Father, we pray that every day the gospel would be sweet to us. Every day we would come to the fount of grace. Not simply that we would be renewed, but that we might shine Your light, Lord, here in this place and to the ends of the earth. And we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now I have sound. All right. Let's see. I'm looking for Barb. Barb is gone. That's a good thing. Ah, there she is. I think it's time, Barb, to get... Okay, you get... Okay. All we need now is for someone to let Doreen know that we are, there we go, all right.
This is a sound heard frequently in Asia. It's a gong that is frequently rung in Buddhist temples and many temples all over Asia. And I would be willing to wager that the person who fashioned this gong would never have imagined it would be rung in a Christian church. I like to make an entrance. So I'm going to bring you back a while before we come to the current situation. I'm going to be leading another medical missions team to Myanmar this coming January. But over 100 years ago, and Lloyd, I can relate with you on many of those things that you just said, but about 100 years ago, in fact, 117 years ago, 1902, my maternal grandfather was born in a southern part of China that was more than likely an unreached people group, a group that had never heard the gospel. And there were Presbyterian missionaries who were going into China from Hong Kong, evangelized to him, and he became a Christian. In fact, my maternal grandfather was the oldest son of a very wealthy merchant. And because he became a believer, he didn't want many wives and he didn't want all these concubines. He wanted one wife to love, to have as his wife forever. But more importantly, he wanted one God. And because of my maternal grandfather, most of his children became Christians, my mother, and most of his grandchildren became Christians. And I'm one of them. So that was in 1902 that my grandfather was born. In fact, my grandfather became the principal of one of the first Christian colleges in China. And he subsequently established one of the first, if not the first, junior Christian colleges in Hong Kong. Even to this day, there are people all over the world who remember about that college, Ling Ying College. So I was actually born in the United States. I was born in Baltimore, U.S. citizen. That's what my parents wanted for me. So that was in 1902. My mom was born in 1926. She was a believer. She led me for most of my life in my Christian walk. I was born in 1957. And when I was 8 years old, I remember being on my knees and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart. When I was 12, I remember that God wanted me to be a missionary. I mean, I felt that call. But back then, way back then, I thought being a missionary was always in Africa. And as I grew up, I knew that that was a little different. And I tried to get overseas as a missionary, like through medical school, through residency, but it was always me. God had not really called me yet, because every time I tried to go, God closed the door. Every time I tried to do this, God closed the door. He shut the door. He locked the door. He blocked the door. Then, after about 9 years of just some really horrible situations in my life, of course, I realized that God used that to fashion me, to mold me after he broke me down, allowed me to be broken down. In the year 2000, it was pretty significant. I took three courses. Could I have a raise of hands? Has anyone taken sonship? Right. This is all in 1 year, okay? Sonship. Has anyone taken experiencing God? That was instrumental, the seven words, and I remember just thinking, oh, everything's great in my life. Everything's settled. My mom is in heaven with the Lord. She's no longer sick. This lawsuit is over with. My dad's in fine health. My sister and her family are great. My brother is getting married. My youngest brother just got married in the year 2000. And then the last course I took was a course called Perspectives in the World Christian Movement. Who's taking that? So the very first day of that perspectives course, the teacher gave a demonstration, and I'm going to try and give you part of how much of an impact that demonstration gave to me. Now, there are going to be a lot of numbers floating around, okay? So I'm going to ask, first of all, the 10 people who have a white sheet of paper. Please come up and just line up right along here. Okay? So you're not going to be able, you're not going to have to do much, okay? Just line up right here. Hold the sheet of paper up. Okay, so who knows how many people there are in the world? About 7 billion, right, about 7.25, et cetera, billion people. So each person here represents about 700 million people. That's a lot. We can't even conceive of how many people how many persons that would be. All right, so about 31.5%, now these are statistics from 2010 to 2013, from the Perspectives on World Christian Missions, from the Joshua Project, also from the Center for the Study of Global Christianity at Gordon Cornwell Theological Seminary, okay? So about 31.5% call themselves Christians. So to take 31%, that is about 2.29. So let's just make it a little easier. Let's take these three, stand over here, okay? So about 31% call themselves Christians. About 2 billion of the persons in the world are unreached. That means they have never heard of the name of Jesus Christ. So let's move on over here. Okay, about 2 billion. That means these have kind of heard, you know, maybe heard of Jesus, maybe, you know, heard Muhammad, maybe heard Superman, maybe heard Batman, Spider-Man, I bet you they've heard of. But they may have heard about Jesus Christ, but would not call themselves Christians. Oh, by the way, so the people in the Christian group, okay, about, let me see, the statistics are 16.85 are Protestant. That means 450,000. How many are in the PCA? 300,000. So let me see. That's like if each person is about 700 million, that's like maybe a little bit, like part of a hand. So we are called to go to the unreached peoples of the world. It's not just to evangelize to those who have, you know, not accepted Christ, but to the unreached. Okay, now, all the people who have a pink sheet, come on up. These represent the missionaries of the world. So in 2010, okay, 2010, just line up here in the front, okay, in 2010, the world sent out, that's good, excellent, sent out 400,000 missionaries, okay? And believe it or not, the United States sent out the most number, 127,210. Now, how many do you think are sent to reach the unreached peoples? Just a guess. How many do you think? So if you were to measure, or try to measure, okay, if you take all the money that is donated to missionaries, believe it or not, 1% is allocated to reach the unreached people group. So if you had a dollar, $1 is sent to reach the unreached, those who have never heard of the name of Jesus Christ, okay? All the others are for, you know, everyone else is sent to reach the Christians, to reach those who have heard of Jesus Christ. Okay, so that would mean, okay, I'm going to fudge the numbers a little bit just to make it a little bit easier. So if there are 400,000 missionaries, remember each person is 400 million people, 2 billion people, okay, have never heard of the name of Jesus Christ, that means you have about, and 1% is about this much, okay, and it's about, let me see, 1 to 50,000 or 1 to 500,000 persons. So Washington, D.C. has about 600,000 people. Baltimore has about 600,000 people. That is one person working in all of Washington, D.C., one person reaching in all of Baltimore, as opposed to 90, if we give a little bit of grace to the numbers, to 99% reaching the rest of those who've already heard of the name of Jesus Christ. If they don't hear about Jesus Christ, they're never going to be in heaven with us. And I don't mean to break down, but as I was driving here, I thought to myself, if that Presbyterian missionary had never gone into China to talk to my maternal grandfather, my maternal grandfather would never have been a Christian. My maternal grandfather would never have loved the name of Jesus Christ or had believed in God or had wanted to open schools to know about Jesus. I would never have come to the United States. I would not be standing here talking to you. And I would probably not be a missionary myself, going overseas to hopefully reach the unreached people groups, because I realized while driving here that I finally understood that since God called me, I've only felt called to go to the farthest places in the world. That sounded crazy, right, Ken? For years, I just kept telling people, I feel called to go to the places where no one else wants to go. I feel called to go to the farthest places in the world. And was it an adventuresome spirit? I don't know. But now I think I do know. I think that God has called me because my legacy has been the unreached people groups, and God has brought me into his kingdom by his grace and mercy. So that's my third presentation to this missions conference. Every year I come up with, or the Lord has blessed me with, something crazy and hopefully memorable, and I hope that you will remember this demonstration of what it means. I mean, how gracious God has been to all of you to call you into his kingdom. And now he has called each of us to be the salt and the light of the earth. And if you can't go overseas, please be in prayer. Please be in support financially, otherwise, to send those whom God has called to go abroad and be the salt and light so that many more millions of people can know God's word, and then there could be a legacy. And maybe some other missionary down the line, generations from now, will come and speak to you. So God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you.
It's amazing that something so small can make such loud noise, Doreen. That is one loud gong. All right. Well, it's been a wonderful time tonight. I'm wondering if we should sing our song at the end of tonight, too. What do you think? So what... I'm gonna ask Ken and Barb up in just a second, and we're gonna try that song one more time. But before they come, I would like to close in prayer, and we'll end our evening singing. We're marching. So that's how we'll close. But let's come to the Lord in prayer right now, and. Thank him and ask him for his blessing. Lord, we do thank you that you have called us to serve you. Thank you for the reminder that you want us to take the word of the gospel into all the world. You want your people to be as light and salt to this generation. And there are so many who have never heard, and many of us count ourselves among those who did not know until someone came and told us. Lord, we thank you so much for your grace and your heart and your love that sends your people to the uttermost parts of the world that many may come to know your saving grace and power, to be delivered from sin and delivered from darkness and delivered from the judgment to come, to know you, to know love, to know life, and to serve you. Lord, we pray your blessing. May we be in prayer for your missionaries. May we support them, and may we be a light. Lord, we confess that we aren't the light we would want to be. And we ask that you will help us to not depend on ourselves, not to make resolutions to improve ourselves, but to trust you more, knowing that we are broken. Without you, we are powerless. Lord, help us in to be your people here on earth. Thank you again for this evening. Thank you for all who are here, who have shared, and may you receive the glory, for it's only you who came, suffered on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead, and you reign in heaven today. And you're the one who sends out your people into the world. Lord, send us into our local Jerusalem, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.